Well, hey everybody, welcome to part two of episode 240 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to our good friends at Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist, Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, well, in part one of the podcast, we broke down Friday's championship game with a variety of guests. If you haven't listened to it already, I encourage you to do so. I think we covered a lot of ground. I was also hoping to get Ankeny head coach Jeff Bauer in part two of the podcast, but he's tied up tonight watching his son Jace play for Central Michigan at Ohio, and that's certainly understandable. So instead, we've got two players and two assistant coaches from Ankeny who are going to break down the game for us. And we're going to start off with the Hawks offensive coordinator. He is Brady Walls. Brady, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Doing great, man. Awesome to still be playing football this time of year.
You bet. Well, your offense has obviously been a big part of the team's success this season. But in the playoffs, you guys have won three defensive battles. You scored 21 points in the first round against Johnston, 14 in the big upset over Dowling Catholic in the quarterfinals, and then 10 in the semifinals against Ankeny Centennial. So you're averaging 15 points in the postseason. You know, obviously, those were three really good defenses that you played against. But how would you assess the play of your offense in the postseason?
That was a big thing for us. I mean, the number one goal anytime for us is win. So I think that's always the biggest thing. Our defense has been playing unbelievable, you know, led by guys like, you know, Kinnick over here. But the other thing, too, is not turn the ball over. So I think being smart about, you know, some of the things we do, we haven't turned the ball over the last couple of games as well. So, yeah, hey, would we like to be more explosive, score more points? There's no doubt about it. So I think that's always the goal. But at the end of the day, we pride ourselves, I think, in being able to hopefully win, you know, shootouts and win slugfests and let our defense do their thing.
Yeah, if you guys win 3-0 Friday, you'll take it, right?
Dang right. W's, baby.
Well, now you guys are facing your biggest test. You're playing a Southeast Polk team that posted a 58-21 victory at Ankeny on September 1st. And in that game, you guys were held to just 93 yards rushing on 32 attempts, so about 3 yards a carry, and that led to some short possessions. I know you guys like to have a balanced offense, and you're certainly going to need to have some success on the ground if you want to have a chance to win, aren't you?
Absolutely. And, I mean, you know, week two with our offensive line, I know those guys are eons better than they were, so we even put a lot of credence in that. You know, these guys are the heart and soul of our team, you know, led by guys like Luke. I mean, I'm telling you right now, I'll take this group up against anybody. We're going to have to build around the football on Friday night. There's no doubt about it. You can't just win a game being one-dimensional. So I trust these dudes. I think they'll go out and they'll play really, really well, and I think we'll be happy, hopefully, with the outcome.
Well, your quarterback, Luke Anderson, provided most of the offense in that first game. He completed 21 of 30 passes for 220 yards and 3 touchdowns, 2 of them to Devin Akers. You know, you talk about Luke's development this season. He was obviously inexperienced coming into the fall, but he's really grown into an outstanding quarterback, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's done a fantastic job, and I'll give a lot of credit, too, to our quarterback coach. Ben Furkin does a great job with all of our QBs. You know, all the young bucks that we have working there, they've all gotten a lot better. I just like Luke's makeup. I mean, he doesn't have an ego about himself. He doesn't care about stats. We say it after the end of every game, what do great QBs do? They win. So that's kind of been, you know, his motto. He takes that to heart, and he'll do whatever it takes to win games for us. If it's throwing 30 times, great. If it's handing it off 45, 50 times, he's got no problem doing that either. So.
Well, Luke's passed for nearly 2,000 yards and 18 touchdowns this season, but he has also been picked off 11 times, and you touched on not turning the ball over there a minute ago. He was intercepted twice in that first game against Southeast Polk, and you guys know how important, you know, that is from that Centennial game where you guys forced three interceptions, you know, of yourselves. You know, if you guys are going to win, I mean, you can't afford to give the ball away, can you?
No, absolutely. Luke understands that and knows that, and that's always kind of been one of his things. I mean, he's always pretty disappointed when he would throw a pick. You know, sometimes it's your fault, sometimes it's not. So I don't put a lot of, you know, stock into how many he has. You know, there's situations where maybe it's a situation where you have to throw the ball, mm-hmm. and you might throw some things like that. So I think, you know, it's just the bad mistakes or the things like that I think he's going to beat himself up on. But, no, I'm super happy with the way that he protects the football, and I think he's going to make, you know, some big plays for us, certainly on Friday.
Well, Akers had 8 catches for 114 yards in that first game. And I think, you know, some of those yards came after the game was already decided. But how do you think the Rams will defend him this time? You know, I know some teams have had to double team him because, you know, he's a pretty tough guy to defend one-on-one. So what does Southeast Polk typically like to do?
I mean, they travel guys with him. So, they, you know, a lot of teams will travel a little bit bigger defensive backs. So I think they can get their hands on him and things like that. I'm really not sure. I mean, teams have done a lot of different things to us. There's games we go in with a game plan, and then teams have played something totally different. So at this point, hopefully, you know, we've played 12, 13 games. We hopefully have enough answers for if they try to do something like this, maybe we get a matchup here, or if you're going to play way off, we're going to have a lot of gaps to run the ball. So that's, to me, the big thing on offense. You have to have the ability to do both, because you're able to adjust and attack those things.
Well, it's nice to have a guy like Akers, though, that teams really have to account for, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, you get guys like that, it can completely change the complexion of the game, and they got to know where he's at. So certainly makes it more difficult for defense and makes it a lot more fun for us.
Well, I know it's kind of a cliche, but you often hear that football games are won in the trenches. You have one of your offensive linemen sitting here with us tonight, and we'll be talking to him here in a minute. But can you talk about the development of your line this season, you know, what he has contributed, and what this group will need to do on Friday for you guys to come away with that W?
Yeah, the thing I'm most proud of, and again, we have three great offensive line coaches, you know, Coach Newell, Coach White, and Coach Kluber, and I think, you know, they've built great relationships with them. It's always kind of hard going into that situation, but I think they've done a great job doing that, and I think, you know, led by these guys, you know, Lucas and these guys have been voted captains and voted leaders. So they're well respected by their teammates, number one. They're physical. I mean, they go to work every single day. They're not scared to work. They're not scared to lift. They're not scared to run. They're just not complainers. They show up, they work, and they whip people is their whole goal in life. So I love that group of five. Like I said, I'll take that group of five anywhere. If we win a championship on Friday, it will be because of those guys. So literally, start out the season, they might have been a little bit rough, but I tell you right now, that's a fist. That's five dudes that are playing together and they love each other. So super proud of those guys.
All right, Coach, thanks a lot for coming, and I appreciate it. See you at the game on Friday.
Absolutely. Go Hawks.
All right, my next guest is a junior offensive tackle and long snapper for Ankeny, and he is also one of the team captains. He was named the lineman of the year in the Hawks district. He is Lucas Beeroth. Lucas, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Let's go back to that first game against Southeast Polk. That was obviously a tough night for you guys. You know, what was going through your mind after that game? Did you ever imagine that you guys would get another crack at the Rams, especially in the championship game?
You know, early in the season, it's hard to think so far ahead, but definitely was a goal to see him again, and, you know, here we are, so...
Well, let's talk about the Rams' defense a little bit. Linebacker Caleb Chebhar leads their team with 61 tackles, but a couple of their defensive linemen, Draven Woods and Cooper Martinson, are right behind with 59 tackles, and Woods had 8.5 tackles in that first game. You know, so obviously their linemen can not only fill the gaps, but, you know, they can make some plays, can't they?
Yeah, they're big, they're solid, and you guys talked about it. Week two, we were not the linemen we are now.
Mm-hmm.
And I just trust the other four and myself to execute better this week.
Now, Southeast Polk, a team that does a lot of stunning and blitzing, or do they just kind of like line up in their base defense most of the time and try to beat you that way?
Week two was pretty... We came out with a game plan. They showed something different. Little bit of movement, but everything we've seen pretty much base.
Now, we talked to Coach Walls about your team's inability to run the ball in that first meeting. Now, when that happens, that kind of makes your offense, you know, one-dimensional, and that just allows their defense to kind of come with a heavier pass rush, doesn't it?
For sure. They can bring pressure with the backers, bring pressure on the outside, and that's tricky, especially for a tackle, that outside pressure. So when you shut down the run game, it makes it easier on the defense.
Well, you guys are planning to run the ball a little bit better on Friday night. And I don't know if you guys, you know, set any particular goals for games in terms of what you want to accomplish statistically, but, you know, how many yards do you think you guys would need to rush for on Friday to give yourselves a chance to win?
I mean, I don't really look at that stuff. I just look at, you know, if we can get Caden 3-4 yards of carry, Blarney, those two dudes are solid, and I think establish a run game.
Well, obviously, if you can establish that run game, I mean, that just opens up everything else, doesn't it?
Exactly.
Well, Lucas, I mentioned that you're the long snapper for the team as well. Well, when did you first develop that skill, and have you been doing it for a long time?
Yeah, I've actually got a family friend. He long snapped at Iowa State a while back and was actually teammates with Coach White.
Okay.
But just through him, we talked. It was a valuable skill to have, you know, going to the next level.
Well, of course, your teammate Ryan Harrington kicked a season-long 44-yard field goal for what proved to be the winning points in the semifinal victory over Centennial. Now, do you and Ryan and your holder, Kenny Voss, who's also sitting here with us tonight, do you guys spend a lot of time each day, you know, working on that in practice?
For sure. Every day we've got a period in practice and getting a lot of work. We've had a couple holders this year, so getting Kenny worked in, you know, repetition. That's what it is. And Ryan, he's a great kicker. He's put in a lot of work in the offseason, and he's great.
Well, Friday's game comes down to a kick at the end. You know, would you have a lot of confidence in Ryan? He's made 7-11 field goals this season, and it doesn't seem like the pressure, you know, would face him too much, does it?
Oh, absolutely. I put wholehearted trust in Ryan to knock it through.
Well, Lucas, I understand that the BC Moore rankings have Southeast Polk favored to win this game by 11.5 points. So, you know, you guys are obviously the underdog in a lot of people's minds. If you're able to pull off the upset and to throw in the Rams at the same time, is that going to make the win that much sweeter for you guys?
Oh, yeah, that much sweeter. We've been the underdog all season, so, you know, it's nothing new to us.
You guys kind of relish that role, don't you?
Right on.
Yeah. Well, hey, Lucas, thanks a lot for coming in tonight. I appreciate it, and good luck on Friday.
Yeah, yes, sir. Thank you.
You bet. All right, my next guest is a junior defensive back for the Hawks. He's made 38.5 tackles this season and ranks second on the team with 3 interceptions. He also returns kicks and serves as a holder for place kicks. He's Kenny Voss. Kenny, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Thanks for having me. I'm doing good.
Well, hey, the first thing I want to ask you about is your name. Are you named after Niall Kinnick?
I absolutely am. Love the Hawkeyes. Huge Hawkeyes. Both my parents went to Iowa State, though. But
so how did they become such Hawkeye fans?
Well, my dad's always been a Hawkeye fan. Mom's always been a Hawkeye fan. And then my dad jokingly claims that his years and names were the worst 4 years of his life.
Oh, no. Well, Niall was a versatile player who did a little bit of everything on the football field, so I guess the name fits. You're a guy who's on the field for a lot of plays every game. You know, we'll start with your contributions on defense, though. You picked off your third pass of the season in the win over Centennial, and that led to the go-ahead field goal in the third quarter. Was that a play that you kind of read, or were you just kind of in the right place at the right time?
A little bit of both. I was dropping back. I had a deep path, and I saw the ball, and knew it was a jump ball. I knew I had to go get it, and yep.
Well, then you had a pretty good return after that, after it, too, didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, your team's defense did bend a little bit at times in that game. You guys gave up 285 total yards, but the Jaguars managed just the one touchdown in the first quarter. Is that kind of part of your team's defensive philosophy, that it's okay to give up some yards here and there, but, you know, you're going to come up with a big stop when you need it?
Yeah, especially in that game, we were letting them throw it to the flats. So we were having our corners carry the receivers. We weren't giving up any big plays, and knew they were going to go a couple here and there, but if we could stay strong and not allow any deep passes and big plays, we're going to be all right.
Well, what do you think has changed the most for your defense since that first game against Southeast Polk? Did you guys make a lot of strategic changes, or are you just executing a lot better?
A little bit of both. We changed scheme quite a bit after the Dowling game. We switched it up to more zone, gave our corners and DBs some more help, got some young guys out there that needed some more support, and like me. And we're also just have come together a lot. We work really well together, and we just fight and have grit, and it's a key to our success.
Well, Southeast Polk has scored at least 24 points in every game this season, and I'm not sure if that's a team, you know, that anybody can completely shut down. But are you confident that you guys can at least slow them down, you know, a lot more than you did in that first meeting? And what's going to be the key to doing that?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the goal. We just got to stay on our assignments and do our own individual job, and hopefully we can come together and prevent a lot of the big plays that we had last game.
Well, another key will be to limit the penalties. I know Coach Bauer told me after the first game that you guys committed way too many penalties in that game. And Southeast Polk is not a team that you want to give any free yards to. So has Coach been stressing that a lot in practice this week?
Yeah, we know that we got to limit those penalties, especially against a great team like Southeast Polk. That stuff can't happen in big games, and if we can limit the penalties, that'll help us a lot.
Well, I mentioned that you also return kicks, and you're the holder for place kicker Ryan Harrington, so you don't get too many breaks during a game. So have you been holding for a long time, and do you enjoy that job?
No, I actually just learned how to hold about a month ago. I do my best, give my best effort, and I enjoy it. It's fun. Gives me another thing to do, another thing to focus on, try to perfect. But, yeah, it's something I picked up on the go.
So how'd they rope you into that job?
Gosh, I don't even know. They knew I had some hands and I could do something.
Well, it seems to be working. Well, we talked with Lucas earlier about his long snapping. You know, is he a pretty reliable snapper? Does he put the ball where he needed it all the time?
Absolutely, absolutely. He's great. I joke with him. I do some backup long snapping. I joke that I can beat him, but he's great. Yeah.
Well, I asked Lucas about his confidence in Harrington's ability to make a game-winning kick. You know, if you guys are down a point with 5 seconds left and he's got a 30-yard field goal to win the game, you know, you'd probably sign up for that right now, wouldn't you?
Absolutely, absolutely. Harrington has made huge leaps and bounds over the years. Just seeing his progress from freshman year to now has been pretty incredible.
Well, Kinnick, it should be a great game. One of the coaches from your past, Coach Dobish, told me to wish you luck. He said he was the best 8th grade C-team basketball coach that you ever had. I'm guessing he's the only one you had. But, you know, hey, thanks for coming in tonight. I'll see you at the Dome.
For sure. Thank you.
You bet. All right, my final guest tonight is the Hawks defensive coordinator. His unit has really peaked in the postseason, allowing a total of just 23 points in 3 games. He is Todd McGackie. Todd, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Not bad. You know, feel a little under the weather, but I'll be all right.
a lot of that going around this time of year.
Yeah.
Hey, your defense obviously improved tremendously throughout the season. What has been the key to your unit's success in the playoffs?
You know, we've got really smart kids, and you know, with you know, jumping on board here, you know, we're really committed to making sure we don't have kids going both ways, and that allows us to have some diversity in what we do. And so, you know, just really smart kids, and we got our assistant coaches work really hard, and every week we, you know, put together a game plan and the kids execute. We've been fortunate here in the last few weeks, and so if we keep that up, we should be fine.
Well, we could talk about a lot of individuals, but your senior linebacker, Connor Kaiser, led the way with 10 half tackles in the win over Centennial, and he has a team high 87 tackles for the season. You know, he's kind of the glue that holds the whole unit together, isn't he?
Yeah, 100%. You know, with the scheme that we run, you know, it's kind of designed to keep him free and protected, and you know, and we've been pretty successful at that. And, you know, with that comes a lot of unselfishness by other folks up front that don't have the most glamorous job. Mm-hmm. And so Connor reaps a lot of that benefit as well.
When you mentioned not playing guys both ways, he did start out the season running the ball a little bit in that first game. Did you guys just kind of decide that that was too much on his plate?
You know, I mean, it's just week to week, you know. I mean, I can, you know, tell Coach Walls, hey, I need Dorfler this week, a defensive line, and you know, it's just week to week. You know, if we do, it's very limited. Mm-hmm. You know, we're just trying to keep the kids healthy and fresh. And, you know, Coach Bauer brought it up to me today that, you know, University of Iowa just lost one of their best players, and he's been going both ways, you know. And
right.
Even at 5A Iowa High School, I think that weighs a lot on kids.
Sure.
You know, mainly from a confidence standpoint as well as the physical standpoint, you know.
Well, your unit has been very opportunistic. You guys have recovered 7 fumbles, and you've intercepted 15 passes, including 3 in the win over Centennial. Jacob Moorfield had one of the 3 picks, and he is now tied for the Class 5A lead with 6 interceptions. Now, he's a guy that just always seems to be around football, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a heck of a football player. Very instinctive, and, you know, we give the kids some autonomy, you know. Some of those interceptions that he's had, you know, it's a gamble, and we see him happen in practice, and it would be very easy to go, hey, now, you know, you're gonna be susceptible to a pump and go and get him to play all scared and timid and tight. But, you know, we let him make his plays, and he makes a lot of plays. Very good player.
Well, Connor, of course, is a UNI recruit, so I'm sure he really enjoyed the opportunity to play in the Dome on Friday, and now he'll get a chance to play on the field one more time in his high school career. But you guys have a huge challenge ahead of you. Sally's Pope racked up more than 400 yards in the first game against your team, most of it through the air. I was really impressed with the quarterback, Connor Moberly, and I can see why he has signed with Iowa State. He completed 16 of 25 passes for 272 yards and 5 touchdowns. You know, some of his throws were into some pretty tight windows. I mean, he's obviously really good, but, you know, can you guys do some different things to maybe try to disrupt his rhythm a little bit?
Yeah, you know, I wish, you know, you go top to bottom, there's no weaknesses there. You know, their offensive line is huge, you know, and he's good. You know, if he wasn't so good, then you wouldn't have to worry about this. And throw on there, they got a very solid running back, three great receivers. There's not a weakness. And then mm-hmm. you throw on that they've got a, you know, a Division I quarterback, that's quite a challenge. So yeah, that's the game plan, is just to try to, you know, give him as many looks as we can and hopefully get him thinking and go from there.
We got a guy sitting here with us tonight. Kinnick will again be a big part of your pass defense. These guys work cut out for him. Southeast Polk has some really good receivers, primarily Carson Robbins and Sam Zelenovich. Do you think it'll be important for you guys to mix up your coverages to kind of keep them guessing? Because I would think if you just come out in one defense and stick with it, even if it's successful, that they're probably going to eventually maybe figure it out?
Oh, 100%. And that's probably, you know, the biggest strength of our kids is our ability to be diverse and play numerous coverages and bring different types of pressures and things like that. And so, absolutely, someone like Kinnick, who has excellent ball skills, you know, who, you know, once again, allowing these kids the autonomy to showcase their talents and the things that they do well. And, you know, with Kinnick, that's one thing he does well, is he's, he, you know, until he's a baseball player, and you know, that he can run the field and read the quarterback and play the ball really well. So, absolutely.
Well, Southeast Polk's offense was about as balanced as it could be in its overtime win against Valley. The Rams rushed for 198 yards and passed for 192. And as good as Moberly is, I mean, you obviously want to try to slow down the running game as well, because, you know, if they run for nearly 200 yards against you guys on Friday, you know, they're going to be tough to beat, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, it's, you know, looking at conversely, you know, going back to the Dowling game, it was, you know, I hear a lot of people talking about, well, you held Dowling to 7 points. Well, our offense, you know, they had an 8-minute drive.
Right.
You know, I joke with Brady, I was tempted to go get a burrito, you know. So that helps, you know. I don't know, the food truck over there behind the locker room is pretty good.
Yeah.
But, you know, that helps. And so, you know, I guess what I'm saying is just sitting there watching the grind of 3 yards and 3 yards and 3 yards. Yeah, you're 100% right. We got to stop the run first. You know, I can only imagine how Dowling felt, is my point, watching us do that. I do not want to be in that position.
Well, yeah, because Southeast Polk really capitalized on some great field position in that first game. They started three of their scoring drives in your territory at the 35, 49, and 27. And no matter how good your defense is playing right now, you know, you don't want to have your back up against the wall repeatedly like that. So winning that battle of field position, I mean, that's going to be pretty crucial, isn't it?
It's going to be huge. It's going to be huge. And we'll wait and see what Coach Bauer's plan is for the coin toss. He kind of, you know, you just wait and see what he wants to do. Yeah, definitely field position is always critical. And, you know, Coach Zoe does a great job with our punt team. Coach Kirk does a great job with our punt return team. And, of course, you know, our offense is going to kill some clock and score some points, and that helps. That helps. It's pretty easy to call defenses when you get two scores up on somebody.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, we talked about the battle in the trenches for your offense with Coach Walls and Lucas, you know, but that battle will be just as important for your defense. You know, how do you feel like your D-line matches up with them? Because I know their offensive line is considered, you know, one of the best around. Do you think your guys continue to wreak some havoc in the backfield?
Yeah, we're always every game, we're the smallest defensive line that, you know, any team will play. And so we tell our kids that, you know, earn the right to rush the passer. And what we mean by that is be those feisty, sacrificial players that are going to help us stop the run. And so that's going to be critical, that once again, they selflessly, you know, fill those gaps so that we can get into third down and long, and we can give them the opportunity to have fun as opposed to just getting pounded on all day long. Because we're a movement team. Everybody knows that. It's no secret. We're not going to line up and beat you up one-on-one. That's not who we are right now. And so, you know, that's going to be critical. And we, with the character that Coach Bauer and Coach Walls have built, that's not a problem. When our kids stop doing what they're supposed to do, it's with good intentions. It happened on a drive in Dowling. People just thought, well, maybe I'll try and make stop this play. You know, it's not any disobedience or anything like that. And so that's kind of where we're at, is those guys got to understand, hey, you know, take the lumps and get us to third down so we can let you rush and get you a sack. And, you know, I think, you know, Dowling's a perfect example. I think Leo got two sacks that game. So,
well, you mentioned the coin toss. So if Coach does win the coin toss, would you rather have your defense go out there first or your offense on Friday?
I'd rather him take the wind.
Good choice. Well, I appreciate the time from all you guys tonight. Should be a great game. I'm looking forward to it. And thanks again for coming in tonight.
Well, thanks for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
You bet. All right. You've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients. You're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We are constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, I want to thank my guests again for coming in tonight. We had 8 of them, so I'm not going to rattle off all their names right now, but I appreciate the time from all of those guys, as I know it's been a busy week for all of them. But hope you enjoyed our two-part podcast previewing Friday's championship game. And I'm not sure if we'll have a podcast next week or not, with Thanksgiving holiday coming up there in the middle of the week, but we'll see. If not next week, then come back the following week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.